Hey, you found the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions, your only computer solutions anywhere on the internet. Look for us at internationalcs.net. We have just completed our 9th quarantine meeting, and it was fairly successful. So what better entertainment for you to have while you're locked in your self-isolated quarantine part of the internet? Listen now to today's episode of the San Carlos Computer Club, May 9th, 2020. Enjoy and tech on.
Oh. $68. I got back $16.
Okay, I think I'm back.
Take control of this, Scott.
I have not been in the conversation. I don't know where we are at the moment.
Talking about U.S. car insurance.
But I am back.
Oh, like where is Waldo?
And
okay, everybody, we're playing. Where's Scott?
I am here.
No,
I'm here somewhere.
It's just a recording.
That's all you guys. Here I am.
Well,
gotcha.
All right. And we have been streaming for a while. So let me just say, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, here to help you with any of your tech questions. Ready to share tech news and happy to see you guys. It's been too long. We are on our 9th quarantined meeting, if you can believe it. That is 9 weeks we have been doing meetings from afar. How's everybody?
Good. We were good, you know. Today is Little Robin's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Haven't heard from Robin since all this began.
Well, maybe she doesn't know that she could get on the call, or she doesn't know how.
Well, I think I've got her on the email list, and I know she's on the computer club list.
Well, maybe I'll call her and see if she wants to get on the calls.
Sure, absolutely. Dag as well. Was Phyllis joining us this morning?
What?
Phyllis?
Oh, is she in? The way I've set up here, let me see. Oh, we've got quite a few people with us today, don't we? Hey,
yeah.
Jim, I didn't see you till just now. I hope your computer's working well. I ended up falling asleep while I was working on it.
Infinitely better than it was.
Oh, good.
We'll talk after the after computer club.
Okay, good. We'll plan on that.
So, Linda Gerber, are you down here in San Carlos?
Yep.
Hi. Oh, wait.
Okay.
I just got here, Judy.
I saw that you crossed the border.
Very uneventful.
Yeah, no problems getting across the border?
He's great.
Hey, Scott.
Yes. Yes, Linda.
Did you get your money?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would have paid you a long time ago if you'd told me.
Well, you know, all of a sudden PayPal has become the way I'm doing business with people, whereas before it was seldom used. And that's only happened in the last couple of weeks. So definitely, I appreciate that, but it's on me. It's not on you. I was ready to wait for you.
John Zelle too.
I've never used that. Do you recommend Zelle?
Huh?
I've never used that. Is that one you'd recommend?
Well, yeah. Actually, they have it on Capital One has Zelle.
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 Z-E-L-L-E.
I thought it was Zelly.
Huh?
I think it's Zelly. Zelly, okay.
Pronounced Zelly?
Zelly, whatever it is. And then I use the one on BBVA Compass. They have one, too. And I've used them both.
So is this Zelly Pay?
Sent me money on the Zelly for the TV. They paid me for their TV that way.
Morning,
Mom.
Have
Morning.
Linda. I'm here, too. Hello.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Terry. Your account number, your bank account number.
I say that again.
There you go, Pop. You're live on YouTube.
Don't they have to have your bank account number to send money to you?
No, I think email.
How to send money with Zelle. Access Zelle, pick a person to pay, choose the amount. Got to have it. You enroll by email. And then you give somebody's email address. You know, I actually had an experience. Was it Zelle that they were sending me money? Somebody asked me to receive some money and it became this whole thing.
Scott?
Yes.
I tried to use them, and the biggest thing I ran into was after jumping through the hoops of joining, they had a small limit on what you can send. So it's only good for very small transactions from the time I tried it.
Oh, okay.
I think the limit's $5,000.
Yeah. Or also, Capital One has another place where you can send big checks.
Hey, Linda, we're looking at your forehead.
Huh?
We're looking at your forehead. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. There you go.
Oh, I'm using my husband's Windows 10 tablet.
Okay.
There.
There you go.
Pull it down.
Looking good?
Anyway, I sent a big check with the check from Capital One, but you have to go to another place to send the checks, and it worked fine.
Nice.
Steve Beasley, what to do? There's a full computer message that I had to contact.
Well, does anyone have a topic or question they'd like to bring up tech-related, isolation-related?
I thought maybe they're wanting to tell you they made a mistake.
Since Linda brought this up, I'd like to know, don't they have to have your bank account number to send money to you through Zelle?
No.
What? Then do you have to have a Zelle account on the other end? And do both ends have to have Zelle?
No.
So if they don't need...
You both have to have Zelle. You just down to go to the Zelle thing on at the bank account and then it to the email. I think that's how it works.
Scott, I believe you're accurate, but they both have to be registered to Zelle. I don't have a Zelle account, you can't send me money.
Right, you have to be registered.
So I think it was Zelle that we were working with, and I went to their website because somebody had sent me money off of the website, and it wanted me to associate it with a bank and gave me a list of banks to associate it with. Like, what bank do you want to put the money in? And my credit union wasn't in the bank list. And so my next option was to just receive it as Zelle credits that can be used everywhere. I'm like, well, this is not a solution that's going to work for me. Because my bank wasn't on their list. I'm fairly certain it was Zelle. In fact, I'm tempted to just get in my email right now and see if it's the same thing.
Scott, you can't beat PayPal. They're 100%.
Absolutely.
I've been using PayPal for a number of years now with the bed and breakfast and off and on and personally. And yeah, you're right. I like the tracking. It's very easy to keep track of who's sending you what and when it's showing up. I've only had, in all the years, I think I've only had one time where somebody had tried to send me money and they just kind of guessed what my account would be. And so it let them think that they had made a transaction. And they told me what address they sent it to. It's a legitimate email address, but it's not associated with PayPal. And I got the impression I might have been able to claim that email address in the PayPal system, but what became easier was for him to go in and just cancel that transaction because nobody had claimed it. So he canceled that transaction and started again with the correct email, and away we went. One time. I've been using it for years, and I've only had that experience once where they thought they had paid me, and I didn't know anything about it. With PayPal. Oh, it's so quiet all of a sudden. This is always the weird part about doing the meeting like this.
We just saw Bill walking naked into the other room.
Oh, he had shorts on.
Oh, I guess I was wondering.
We could probably do a pajamas fashion party or fashion show, right? Everybody just take a walk through their camera. Did you get up and switch from your night pajamas to your day pajamas?
You might have to re-rate this program.
Oh yeah. That's right. I'll have to put an explicit warning on it.
Yeah.
Well, other than transferring money remotely, is there any topics that people are interested
in? Grappling with.
I'm sorry, say again. I'm not sure.
This is your dad.
Hey, Pop.
I just want to ask you to give us some time when your class is over here. Oh. We've got to get the radiosity straightened out. Wouldn't you know, we arrived in Alaska, go directly into quarantine, get radiosity set up as our only TV, and it quits on us last night.
Oh, no. And I'm the wrong Scott. You know that. You need to talk to Scott, the TV guy.
The other Scott. The other Scott is ready. I just don't know how to call him.
I think the 27th.
Okay. Well, sure, I can help you figure that out.
All right, great. Thanks.
I have a question.
Please, Fred, go ahead.
Does anybody have DirecTV, and are you having problems with Channel 4?
DirecTV?
I have Channel 4 on DirecTV.
You don't have?
Channel 4 is not one of my options.
Oh, okay.
Because mine's out of Colorado.
Okay.
So you don't have it. So nobody else is using DirecTV? No.
No. Ours keeps dropping out. And I'm trying to find out if it's the cable box or if it's the TV.
Sorry, Fred. I don't use DirecTV either, so I'm not certain how to help you with that kind of issue.
Well, I thought I'd ask. Thank you anyway.
Well, did you guys see that I was just reading this article about in Wired that's talking about the health, contact tracing? In fact, if I've got everything set up right here, let's see. Maybe you can look at what I'm doing. There we go. So,
no,
nothing.
No.
Dagnammit.
I still see the mosaic.
It might take a moment. Yeah, I see what I did. How's that?
Things changing. Now all it's right. Black.
I think I'm getting some of this stuff dialed in. This is a combination of three different programs allowing me to do this kind of thing.
There you go. No picture.
No picture.
No, I've got
the picture's there.
But it's small because you're in one mosaic.
Hold on a second. I'm just hitting the wrong screen. There we go. I think that's the right one. How's that?
That is. Yes.
No.
Yes.
All I've got is your picture of your little squirt, the round circle with the computer.
It might take a moment to propagate. But apparently Google and Apple are finished with their APIs, and so they're ready for developers to pick them up and start using them. And there's a number of governments that have said, no, we're not going to do this. And so it's probably... Is there somebody trying to get my attention? I'm sorry. Can people hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's all I need. I just needed one. But the if you've been following this, we talked about it last week, that and the Trump administration's really been pushing this idea that tech will save us, Google will save us. Google and Apple have come together to make these APIs that would make it possible for programs to keep track, do this contact tracing. Contact tracing is this job that they have done ever since they've been keeping track of epidemics, where they get people to go out in the field and find infected people and track down where they got infected. And trying to find the very first point of infection and trace it forward, helping them to understand how the disease happens, while making people aware of who needs to be isolated. And so many of the governments of our states and municipalities have said they're not going to be relying on this kind of stuff. Is somebody trying to get my attention?
You need to get circulation, but the guy in the PT said he just spent 12 hours a day in the chair, you can go up.
Is that Irving?
I haven't heard that. You could get up and go.
I just... Somebody walked by naked.
Oh, I'm watching the wrong channel.
Do that again. I missed it.
Yeah, if you guys could keep your mics muted, unless you're trying to say something in the conversation, it's just we've got to work with this format we're in, and it's a little distracting and difficult to talk. So I appreciate if you keep them muted when you're not intending to be part of the conversation. But the contact tracing, what this article is talking about is how these governments don't see, they see the contact tracing, and I actually didn't see it this way before, as more than just figuring out where the infections are coming from, but there's a social aspect to it where these people need to know who's sick personally and get to and gain their trust, so that they can convey information and give them procedures. And so they're not going to be relying on these API applications. And developers are actually in a great position. If you could imagine what this article, what I was imagining as I was reading this article, is that people could, or developers, say, for example, an app like eBay or an app like Skype we're using now, they could just integrate this tracing right into the app that already exists. So they could take an app that is already abundant throughout their platform and just add a COVID-19 testing interface to it, like a checkbox. Have you been tested? Are you... have you had the virus? Do you have symptoms now? They could have something as simple as three checkboxes on the Amazon app. So you go in to buy toilet paper, and it says, hey, why don't you register whether you've had exposure to this coronavirus? I didn't realize that that's literally how easy these APIs would make it for developers. And so consequently, because it would be a national database, you could be asking these questions in a Skype app or in an Amazon app or in an eBay app. And all that would come together in a great national database of infected people and experiences. And then that same app could be responsible for retrieving the information that you personally would need to know. Now you need to quarantine yourself. Or, you can't go to the mall. As you're walking in the door, it's saying in real time, hey, you shouldn't go into the mall. There was just an outbreak. Things of that nature. And so the reasoning that this article is talking about is how this personal experience, there's so many more things that these people that get hired to do this contact tracing are responsible for that an app just can't replace. And I don't know whether that's true or not. Maybe that's true right at this moment. Maybe the app is like one more tool in your Swiss Army knife of things to help with contact tracing. Maybe this is a thing that needs to go alongside, whereas with more foresight, a lot of these other jobs could be done digitally. But what I found was impressive was the numbers they were talking about as far as doing this, trying not to automate this, but to do it with actual people. I'm looking here. I mean, they're talking about 17,000 jobs for California. Massachusetts has a budget of $44 million to hire 1,000 contact tracers. And these budgets include things like where they're going to stay, how they're going to pay for their accommodations, how they're going to pay for their food as they're out doing these jobs. And it got me thinking, for whatever excuse they wanted to use for not being interested in using the technology, what a great excuse to put people to work and to spread money in the economy. And I wonder if that's... I didn't read anything like that into this article except for my own speculation. These are big numbers in a time period where there's a lot of people not working. And there might be a real incentive to, if we do have contact tracing that needs to go on, we could use that as a reason to give people jobs, give them money, put the money out in the economy. Anyway, I'll put a link to this on our...
But then, Scott, on the other side of that, who is going to make all the money from all this? Who's the parent company that's going to make all this money?
Yeah, I...
Is this going to be like Halliburton or something?
You know, in this, the way our system's working, and I don't know, it wasn't clear to me any particular vendor that's in charge of hiring these people. And it definitely doesn't look federal. It looks like state by state they're making this decision. So this article is talking about different states that are budgeting money for human labor, and they're not going to rely on these digital devices for contact tracing. But they didn't go into detail of who's going to be providing that workforce. But I think that's a good point to be paying attention to in this climate where we're looking for work and we're looking for money to be spread. It's a whole different angle on this contact tracing. Just like everything else, it may end up being some good old boys network that's determining how people are hired. They do have
and
to
also
have...
can't.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, it'll also do tracking on everybody. They'll sit there and know what you do, who you do. That kind of thing. And I'll keep that information and build up their database.
I think you're right. I think that's another issue. Another part of this is that we live in a world where we're concerned about tracing on a personal, on a privacy security note. It's hard to get us as a culture to buy into this idea when these kinds of systems have been such poor stewards of our personal information. I think that's a very good point. Who's getting hired in lieu of the system? And who gets to maintain access to this data afterwards? Whose data is it anyway? Oh, go ahead, Fred.
All I've got is a black screen with bubbles at the top.
Oh, yeah? You can't see you? I think I've got...
I can see me, but I've got the bubbles at the top, which is correct. But if you're supposed to be on the screen, you're not.
Well, this last moment, you were on the screen.
Okay.
No, Scott, you're on the screen.
Well, now I'm on the screen. Hey, and Judy, you're just a black box.
That's because my video is off.
Okay. As long as everything's working the way we're expecting it to work. So I just put, I had Fred on the screen, but he's not there anymore.
Well, I don't see you even when you're talking.
So to what I have done is I have set up my screen to be shared. And then that screen, I'm projecting myself or web pages or yourselves. In whatever moment, at any moment, that's what I'm doing with the other screen. And I'm sharing that screen with you folks. It became apparent to me that I would be able to replace my image with whatever I happen to be focusing on. And so you might be having bandwidth problems receiving my image, because I think if I'm doing it like this, I think you're all looking at me. I think when I'm sharing... This is the experience we were having last week. When somebody would inadvertently share their screen, then we were all watching it. And so now I'm intentionally sharing my screen, and I think you're forced to all watch me. Please tell
That's
me.
That's correct. I'm seeing your screen. Now I see.
Now you see Fred, because I set up a screen for sharing you guys. And Fred was the last one that was coming forward in the Skype conversation. I've got two cameras. I got one off of my laptop, and I got another one over here off my monitor. And I've got say again?
All I see is your bubble with the computer in it. I don't see you.
Maybe it has something to do with your Skype settings. Let me go to my Skype real quick. So you are front and center on my Skype. There is this. Do you have yours set to grid or to speaker view?
I have no idea.
That may have something to do with it.
Okay. I know earlier
in grid view,
you went away.
In grid view, you can pull people down into the grid. Like right now, I'm pulling my dad's globe into the grid with you. So now we're looking at Dad and Fred. I'll pull Irving down in here.
Okay, I just pulled Linda down. And that works.
Yeah.
Try your.
And if you.
So does that mean that when you're on a Zoom, you can pull down whoever you want to look at most of the time?
Zoom works differently. In fact, it's something that we're actually missing out on is the ability to have...
Well, I forgot we're on Skype.
Yeah, the ability to have just this huge mosaic of videos going at the same time. That doesn't seem to be a feature in Skype. In fact, I think the most I've been able to get in this mosaic has been 4 people. If I try and add any more, there's no more slots for them. Oh, what is this? Oh, no, that's not it. Yeah. Like, I'm bringing Jim down here now. So I can replace one of the people in the mosaic. But if you put it on speaker view, who should be coming forward is the last person that was talking.
And that doesn't seem to be happening for me.
There, you see that delay? In the end, it seems like Skype just works when it wants to work. Well, folks, what else do I have on my list here? Is anybody in the... Oh, go ahead.
I'm curious. I'm looking at Bill, that wonderful background. Whatever he's doing, his hair is kind of moving around. It looks like it's blowing in the wind. It looks like he's really out there camping or something. I'm just curious how you get a background like that.
Yeah, if you're on your laptop, let me get my Skype up in front of us again.
Scott, it's not hard. You just live in God's country.
Right. So I'm sharing my screen. Can you see what's on my screen right now?
I see a black box.
A black box for me.
I see you.
You should see Bill right now.
Yes.
Okay. So I am hovering over the video button, which is crossed out. And what it does is it brings up a preview of my camera. So you can actually see me. I've got a background. And this blue button, choose background effects, allows you to go into Skype settings. Watch me crash everything by trying to go into Skype settings. Bring it forward, Skype. There we go. And then in the desktop version of Skype, you're able to set your own background. I just changed mine.
And that is where in settings?
Yeah, so where that is, I'll do it again. If you can see my screen, Jim Cunningham's, there's Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yeah.
So I'm sharing my screen, so you're seeing yourself if you're looking at me. And if I hover...
I'm not seeing myself. Now I am. Okay.
Okay. So right below your mouth here is my video button. And I'm hovering over it. I'm not pressing it. And it'll give me a preview of my camera and my video effects. And there's a blue button right here that says choose background effect. So you're looking for that in your Skype settings. You hit that choose background effect. Please don't crash my session. This is audio and video settings. Well, in real time, you can play with it. This is what it brings up, and you'll see right here it says choose background effect. You can make it blurry.
I see it.
You can say none.
Very interesting.
So I recommend a background photo for all of you that have a naked significant other walking around in the background. just seems appropriate.
Yeah, for all the obvious reasons.
So, Cheryl, I too am on an iPad.
Yeah. Is Cheryl talking to us?
Well, she sent a chat through Skype, and she said, all settings are different. I'm on an iPad, and I'm just answering that I, too, am on an iPad.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, and I did try to make it clear. The desktop version of Skype lets us do this stuff.
Exactly.
But the iPad does not. We can't change any of our background. In fact, I'm having a heck of a time with the moving of the making of the mosaic. I can't find anything that says change to speaker view mosaic. There's this stupid little square down in the corner that when I push it, different things happen.
No, so. Cheryl, it's up at the top. On mine, it's up at the top right-hand corner, and it looks like a grid, and you can touch it, and it goes to grid. You can touch it again, and it goes to the speaker comes forward.
No, there's nothing in the right corner. My face is in the right corner right now.
No, this is above that. Like if you click down below and go to where it shows your microphone mute.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. Now click that little box with the three dots and it goes to grid.
Uh-huh. And click it. Oh, now I can see Scott's thing.
Oh, cool.
There's my background now. It's real life.
Wow, it's so realistic.
I've got your little granddaughter.
That was on Bill's background, yes.
Okay, how come Scott is gone? And you know what? I lost my whole, on my tablet, the screen's purple and it's going round and round and I lost everything. And now I have two of me on here. How come?
Well, actually, there's two of you because I am sharing this monitor and I keep putting different things on it. So right now, it's streaming my video. Earlier, I was showing what your chat is up to. And since you're the last one speaking and I've got it on speaking view, you're front and center. I can switch over to full screen mode. This is what I'm doing on my other monitor. I was just looking for another topic and doing some tech stuff. And so that's coming up across my Skype channel or video feed. So yeah, that's what's going on. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to put on the Skype video, my Skype video feed, what's going on to the YouTube channel. But occasionally I confuse myself and I stick something like, for example, here we are working in the background and I'll stick something on this monitor. And this is an example of something you can see, but the YouTube channel can't because this monitor is being shared with you. Anything on this monitor is going out on Skype. But it's in the background that is actually this thing with the red. I don't know if you can see the red line, but this is what's actually going out on YouTube. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It's interesting for someone, I'm sure. This is also a scene that I've created so that I can be in the frame as I'm surfing web pages. And then this is my please wait. So what have we got here? I thought this was interesting. I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. And I'll put a link on our today's show. The coronavirus continues to change the Play Store charts. Just realized that I'm looking at, let me, change my scene here. And what this is an article referring to how they have analyzed what the Google Play Store's top 10 apps look like over February, March, and April, and how it has dramatically changed what people are interested in downloading and running. You can see the end of February here if you're looking at me. Your Phone Companion, Android Auto. I thought that one was kind of funny. Number two in February was Android Auto. So what that is an app that allows you to connect your Android phone to your car. So you listen to music and make phone calls and get email and text all from your car interface. It's no longer on the board. You can't find Android Auto in March or April. It's like starting March, if I should take a camera out to my car, it's covered in dust. Hasn't moved in 2 months.
Right.
So these are the top 10 apps, the free apps, top 10 pay apps, dramatically changed because of the COVID-19 epidemic. Here's a funny one. Tinder's in this list on March. I'd think you would be trying to stay away from people, but maybe this is just people trying to meet up. we're not gonna touch. But I got a great but I've got Skype, right? So they're using Tinder to interact with each other, but they're not gonna go out and meet each other anymore. They're gonna go online and meet each other. Pandora has stayed steady at number 3. People need to listen to music. I'm suspecting because Pandora is so prominent on this list that this is the U.S. usage. This is not the international usage, the international app stores. Right. Have you found that you've installed any new apps on your devices because of the COVID-19 epidemic we're in? I know some of you at least have gotten into Skype. You might have been in it before, but now every Saturday you're doing it.
Well, we've gotten into Zoom a little bit only because our children will invite us in.
I downloaded an app that's wonderful. It just maps the car the virus all over the globe. Gives you specific numbers, graphs, daily updates. And it seems comprehensive. And it doesn't seem to have the Middle East, but it has everything else. And it's a free app. You can buy them a cup of coffee if you like. And I think it's the best app I've seen as far as the virus information.
Hey, what's the name of it, Irvin?
I don't know if I have to go offline and check it. I think it's called the Coronavirus app. And, And it's a map of this globe. And each state is represented individually throughout the world and gives the specific numbers that are reported daily. And it's a great app.
Irving, is that an app that you found in the Google Play Store?
I don't know where I found it.
Are you running it on your computer or your mobile device?
On my computer, on my laptop.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you should report back to us the name. I would be interested in hearing what
it is. I'm going to try to lower this and get into it, see if I can come right back on. Excuse me for a minute.
Sure. Yeah, and there's no reason to disconnect. You could just minimize the window. You could stay part of our conversation while you're looking.
Yeah, I did that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, okay, here it is, if anybody's listening. It's HTTP, coronavirus.com/map. Oh, I'm sorry. I've missed something. Coronavirus scott.app/map.
App map.
Go again. https colon double forward slash coronavirus dot app app forward slash map map.
Oh, hey, this is beautiful. I mean, yeah, as pretty as a pandemic can be, I guess.
Oh, it's the only thing.
Yeah.
Oh, mine just refreshed itself. It went to Washington, D.C. Let's just look globally. Oh, wow. This is really nice. Is this that app that the kid put together that got so much notoriety recently on the news?
I think this was put together by two or three tech guys. They're not anywhere near the United States. They're somewhere on the globe. But you can check every state of the United States, it's just very in-depth. And like I say, it covers the globe, I think everything but the Middle East, for whatever reason.
Yeah, no, this is really cool.
And it's a free app. You can buy them a cup of coffee if you'd like.
Oh, we're at 49 now. Look at that. Or 45. 45 dead. 534 cases. They said this is supposed to be the peak week in Mexico.
Friday was supposed to be the peak day.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, they, over the week, they had allowed restaurants to open up with three tables. I don't know if you guys were paying attention here in San Carlos, but I think the Palapa's open. I haven't been out. Has anybody been out to?
I have not, but El Bronco is open, La Palapa, Tortugas, Delfines, Colibri.
Some people were asking me if I understood why they were able to be open, and I went ahead and just sent a WhatsApp to Comisario, and he sent me back a message that was basically, we don't have any control over it. It's a health department's prerogative, and they have said no more than three tables they can be open. And they have to follow the social distancing guidelines.
Well, we went to Chihuahua's night before last.
Oh, yeah. What was your experience like, Linda?
There was one, two, three, four tables.
Four tables. Was that upstairs and downstairs?
No, we were downstairs, and there was four tables with people at them.
Okay. Well, yes.
Hi. You asked about apps. We've been doing these social meeting things, so I've been using Zoom. And to get in touch with other people, we sometimes use FaceTime. But I'm finding Facebook Messenger is the most consistent for video, audio, everything being streamed perfectly, as long as it's just two things, you know, two-way communication. The other thing is our library has electronic books that you can take them out, and I had to download Hoopla. And our library is connected through Hoopla, and I can get TV series, I can get movies, I can get all kinds of books. I'm allowed to take four things out at a time and watch. But the only thing that I have that I can watch them on is my little iPhone, unfortunately, because my iPad's too old of a system.
Say again, what are you watching them on?
Hoopla.
Say that again.
Hoopla. Hoopla, H-O-O-P-L-A.
I don't want to lose that thought. I want to write it down, and I'm looking for the right place to write it down. So it's H, what was it? Hoopla, H-U, H-O-O?
Double O.
Double O, P. La, L-A. Hoopla. Very cool. And this is for, and this is your library is part of this. Is that right? And so you're able to
yes.
check out books and videos.
Yeah. I'm allowed to have four things out at a time. And just been, I've got my book open right now. So my Hoopla, it has video, music, books, and you can search for different things. You can borrow four more times this month.
Oh, so you have a limit on how many times you can borrow, and you have a limit on how much content you can borrow.
It looks like it, but that's because my Strathcona County Fort Saskatchewan Library is where I'm going in through.
Okay. And they've got their own restrictions.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's working pretty good.
Libraries in the digital age are pretty cool. I had not paid too much attention to it until we bought a Kindle for my daughter because she's an avid reader. And what I was able to do online is verify that I'm an Anchorage citizen, and I wanted to renew a library card that had not been valid since I was a child, so I just had to sign up for another one. But they allowed me to do it all online and verify who I am. And their system, it's called the Alaska Digital Library, and they do allow you to check out audiobooks and books. I need to look at videos. I can't remember if they're doing that or not. But they use a system that I'm looking up on my phone called Libby. And Libby's been very cool. You can tell me this if you have the same experience. It's interfaces with Amazon Kindle. So we can actually do Kindle searches for content, and it will tell us if it's available in our library. So we can available for checkout from the library. And we can go to the library and we can do searches, and we can specify content we want on the Kindle. So when we find it there at the library, we can say, put it on the Kindle, and it'll move it over to the Kindle.
Wow.
It's been awesome. Actually, my daughter is into a book series called Warrior Cats, which I'm having to buy the books for them because I can't get them in the library. A large portion of them are in the library, but a couple of them we've had to buy or get hardbacks of for her. But it's been amazing to be able to explore that library. Every month, I'm not big into the subscription fee model, and ever since I bought her a Kindle, I've been paying $10 a month for access to Kindle Unlimited. And I keep wanting to get rid of this subscription, mostly because nobody reads, except my daughter. And she's like, you can't get rid of the subscription. It's got all the Harry Potters on it, and I'm now into the Harry Potters. And so Amazon has been very successful to keep me hooked up into their systems. Can't get rid of Prime because of shipping and videos. Can't get rid of the Kindle Unlimited because my daughter wants to read all the Harry Potters. I'm sucked in. They keep bringing me back in.
Isn't that the truth?
I would have more to complain about, except it works so well. It's exactly what, I mean, if they were going to charge you to do these things, it's what you would want to be paying for.
There's a reason why they're the number one company in the world.
Yeah, well, there's multiple reasons. These are some of them. There are some nefarious reasons as well, Irving. You'd have to agree.
Absolutely. If it's got business, it's got corruption, especially with money.
Oh, I think you just titled my podcast, Irving. I'm sorry, say again. Say again.
Sorry, the library, I'm sure, has all the ebooks of Harry Potter in ours, for sure. And they use that other one, too. Was it called Libby?
Libby is what I'm calling it. Yeah, I think this is the first time I've heard myself say it out loud.
Yeah, L-I-B-B-I or something. Yeah.
L-I-B-B-Y is.
L-I-B-B-Y, and it's also Overdrive, is another one that my library in Colorado uses. Overdrive.
You know what? Overdrive is incorporated into this. I'm not quite sure
it's
how.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe
it used to just be Overdrive, and now that it's an app, I think it's Libby Overdrive.
I think you're right, Judy. I think maybe Overdrive is the storage, the repository aspect, and Libby must be the front end to it. If you follow what I mean.
I do.
Hoopla, Libby, Overdrive, Zoom, of course. And I like I don't like the coronavirus, but I like the map that Irving turned us on to. I'm going to put links to this stuff all on the website because I like it.
I could not find that particular thing as an app, however.
No, it's you need to go to it as a web browser.
Yeah, that's what I did. But why does it say it's an app if it's a web browser?
Well, you know what I notice right off the bat? And here, let me stick it back on my screen. This is a good example of a progressive web app, which is the future of all this stuff, is progressive web apps. And the idea being that all these controls that you would expect from an app, a native app, if you've heard that terminology, if you haven't heard that terminology before, a native app is an application that was built for a platform. So in essence, if you have an iPhone and you go to the iTunes store and you download an app, you have downloaded a native app for the iPhone. It's an iPhone app. So if you've got an Android phone and you go to the Google Play Store and you download Skype for Android, that is a native app for Android. You've downloaded a Skype app specifically for the Android platform. So that's what a native app is. A native app also for Windows. If you download Photoshop or Office, you're putting a native app on your platform. That download couldn't be brought over to a Macintosh and expected to work. You'd have to get a copy of Office for Macintosh, and that would be a native app on the Macintosh. So this is real old school. This is the stuff I grew up with and the stuff my kids are not growing up with. Where we've moved in technology is to the progressive app model, a progressive web app model. And that's what we're seeing with this coronavirus map. I would imagine that at some point, if they feel like doing it, they will create an app for the iPhone, for the Apple Store, and an app for the Google Store, for the Play Store. And what that will be is only a framework. It'll be like a metaphorical frame that is nothing more than a web browser. And the web browser will include, what you would have is this frame, and you would have, in essence, a menu, or however your app does it, hot buttons. But the contents of the app would be this hot map that we're seeing here. It would be this metaphorical frame the frame would be the native app, and then inside that would be the progressive web app. So they wouldn't have to change anything about this map. They would just stick it inside this Android frame, or this Macintosh frame, or this iPhone frame. But the app would not have to change. They wouldn't have to build it into a native app. So we're seeing a lot more of this stuff. This app, I think, is a really good example of progressive web apps. Your experience with progressive web apps started last year, and you're probably not even aware of it. I'll make you aware of it now. Anytime a web page on your computer comes up and asks if you want notifications, that is an example of progressive web app programming. And I think we talked about this a few computer clubs back, because it's become one of the most infuriating things with a website these days. You go to a new website and it says, hey, would you like to get notifications from this particular website? I'm sure many of you have had this experience now. You're running Chrome, you go to the New York Times. First thing it says is, hey, the Times would like to send you notifications of new news. Would you like to do this? And you're saying no. The reason this exists is to put notifications on your phone, on your lock screen, from these progressive web apps, but its fallout is it's the same website when you go to it on your computer browser. It's right here is the same website. This is a requested feature to have turned off. In fact, it's key in my mind right now because Jim and I were just doing this. And I'm in a Chrome browser right now, and I have got this already turned off. If I go into settings, if you guys are following along, somebody stop me if they have no interest in this, but if we go into settings on the Chrome browser, in the settings page that is slowly propagating here, if we go into privacy and security, and then we go down to appearance. No, I'm sorry. Privacy and security, and we go here under site settings. And then we go down to permissions. There's one here that says notifications. And at the very top, the very first option here, sites can ask to send notifications. If it's on, I'll turn it on for a moment. If it's on and you go to a site, here's a good, I'm going to remove this option. I'll go to cnet.com. When I approach this site, one of the first things that it'll pop up in front of me, or one of the things, oh, it doesn't want to do it right now. Or maybe it's just not done. No, it doesn't want to do it right this moment. Oh, there it is. If you're looking at my screen, what it finally popped up is CNET.com wants to show notifications. Do I want to allow or block? I'm on a desktop. If I allow it, what's going to happen is when I'm running Chrome, whether I'm at this website or not, in the background, it's checking the website for new notifications. And those notifications will pop up in Windows in this notifications bar that I'm going to open to the right of my screen. So you will be slowing down the performance of your computer, of your internet, because when you say allow, what you're saying is that website is going to be in the background every time I use this browser. And it's going to be checking CNET for new updates. If I say block, well, that's good, because that won't be happening for this particular website. But the truth is, and I suspect a lot of you are the same person, same kind of person on the internet. The truth is, you want everything blocked. You never want a website to be visited without you looking at it. And you don't want to take a hit on the performance of your experience. The way to guarantee that is to turn off this whole notification system with this switch. Sites can ask for notification. No, they can't. I've turned it off. This notification system only came about in the last year because of this push for progressive web apps. How's everybody doing? Any questions, any comments?
Yes, you cannot do that on an iPad.
You can't. And the reason...
I cannot figure out how to do it on my iPad.
Well, and I can't show you how to do it in this venue. But the reason you can't do it on an iPad is because these apps... You're doing everything as apps. And so your notifications are controlled by the iPad, by the particular app. And
so then I have to go to each particular app and turn off notifications.
Well, and that includes...
I find a general.
Yeah, that should also include Safari or Chrome or Firefox, right, whatever you're using. And so you can just say, I don't want Safari to ever be bringing anything up to my screen, up to my lock screen.
Exactly. But you have to do it all individually.
Right.
That's what's kind of a pain.
It's kind of a mixed platform because those notifications, you have a device... And it has a notification system. And your applications are feeding notifications into that system. Windows is no different. The Macintosh is no different. But then you also have the browser platform. So you've got an app that's Chrome. Chrome is feeding notifications into your platform, into Windows, or it's feeding it into the iPhone notification system coming from Chrome. So each one of the websites that you could visit with Chrome can send notifications to the native platform. In my example, it would be Chrome can visit websites. Each website can send Chrome a notification. Chrome can feed those notifications into the Windows notification system. That's a lot of complicated talk for a very simple thing. But essentially, you've got a bunch of apps on your platform. Each one of those apps, you can choose to block or allow notifications on your platform. One of those apps is your web browser. You could have one or a number of web browsers. Chrome, Safari, Firefox are all examples of this. Each one of those web browsers could be blocked from sending your platform notifications, or it could be open, and then the web browser is supposed to determine which one of those web pages notifications get to make it to your native notification system. All right, now my tongue is tired. And I'm ready to talk about a different topic.
Well, Scott, I have one more thing to add before you do.
Okay.
I have the iPad, and I found where you could shut off your notifications. I went to the settings, and they have a area called notifications. And there's a setting, allow apps to access your notifications. And it has the switch to turn it on or off. I was getting that notice and refusing them, but now I turned it off, and I hope I don't get it anymore. So the thing is, it is available on iPad.
So on iPad, Irving, were you able to discern whether you're turning off every notification or just that particular website?
It looks like every... Well, let me just read it. Allow apps to access your notifications. If you allow access, you can choose which apps you can access your notifications. Use the settings on this page. Denying access blocks apps from accessing your notifications. I assume that means universal.
Judy, have you found that kind of option in your equipment?
No. You click on go to settings, notifications, and that verbiage does not come up. It just shows you all of your apps, and then you have to allow or deny.
So, Judy, do you know, are you completely up to date? Irving, are you completely up to date?
I am, probably. It's automatic. But before you go with...
Are you both running the iOS 13?
I think I am.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think so.
But I think that Judy may be jumping ahead to a sub link. When you first go into the privacy settings.
Oh, privacy. I think that's where I missed it. Okay. I was on notifications.
Right. Well, you go down to the notifications. There's a long list of things like general speech, blah, blah, blah. And right at the near the bottom is a thing called notifications. If you hit that, it brings up to the right the switch, which you could turn on or off.
Are you?
Mine isn't like that. Mine is under settings. It's like at the very, there's three little things up there, airplane mode, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and then it goes to notifications, and that's where you have to do it. If I go to privacy, that's not an option.
Now,
well, when you go to privacy, does it have a long list of links to make changes or settings?
No. Location, contacts, calendars, reminders.
Okay, well, where I have location underneath, it says camera, microphone, voice activation, and then notifications. And then it continues down. It has a long list of account info, contact, calendar, phone calls. But the one I hit was basically notifications, which brought up the switch.
Interesting.
I would encourage you both to just double check what version of iOS you're running. Maybe it's a new feature.
I'm at 13.4.1. My software is up to date.
Okay.
How would I check mine, Scott?
Go ahead, Judy.
General. Settings, general.
Would we go to home first, I guess, or general, yeah.
And then it should say...
And are you both on iPads?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, when I go to general, it goes right to privacy options.
Well, that was the last one you were on.
Okay.
Which is the option for the software? It's right at the top. I've forgotten the verbiage.
Well, when I go to general, it comes from about, software update, AirDrop, AirPlay. And if I click on about, it tells me my software version.
I'll have to look
okay.
for it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Here, I've got a graphic on my screen. Maybe this helps. I will have a graphic in just a second. Come on. It's probably an example of me asking my computer to do way too much stuff at the same time. Here we go. So this about at the top. So if you hit general, then there should be an about right at the top, and there should be a software update button.
If you click on that one.
Click on the software update.
Yes.
Irving, are you able to see my screen?
No. But I found a way to do it. I searched it. Let's see if I can go there. Okay. Now I got it. Let's see what it says. See details in Windows security? No. Windows specification, OS build?
No.
Version 1903?
That doesn't sound right.
Windows 10 Home 1903?
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. You're supposed to be looking on your iPad.
I'm on my iPad.
What are you looking at that's saying 1903 Windows?
Windows specifications. And under it, it says Edition Windows 10 Home. Version 1903.
Irving, that's not an iPad you're on.
Hello.
You're on a Windows-based tablet, I guess.
Wait a minute. I'm on a...
Did we lose you?
My iPad's over there. Thank you.
Okay, no worries. I thought that was sounding strange.
That's senility. Okay, that was fun.
Okay, guys. Nice chatting.
Oh, my gosh. Judy, thanks for reminding us. Yeah, I had completely lost track of time.
Goodbye, Judy.
You folks are too fun to hang out with, but we are over time, aren't we? Is there any last-minute things we should get in before we call this conversation over?
No, Scott. I'm going to drop off that computer over at the office.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
I don't know if it's any good. I brought the disks and everything, but it was Windows 7 and 8. But if you can get it to work, you can give it away.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's absolutely what we'll do. Hey,
I mean, it is an IBM ThinkPad, so it's a nice, but it's old, and I just, something happened to it.
Well, I'll take a look at it. To be honest with you, right now I'm trying to replace a garbage computer that I use in the office. Maybe it'll end up being given to me.
You can have it, whatever.
All right. Well, that's awesome. We'll take a look at it. And while we're talking about the office, just so people know, we have new office hours. We are doing office hours from 10 to 3. What office hours means to us is somebody being available to bring equipment to and pick equipment up from. We're doing everything by appointment. So if you need to bring something to the office or you need to sit down with Sony and do something, please call her beforehand, because we really are trying to do the social distancing thing and keep things clean as people come and go. And we don't want to have more than one customer at a time in the office. And so, just our phone number, 226-0209. And we're doing appointments, pickups and drop-offs from 10 to 3 in the office. And then I'm available throughout the week, most days, most times, from about 9 to 9. You can reach me on Instant Messenger, or you can call my cell phone. And we are doing pickups for people as well. If you're not able to bring something by the office, get a hold of me. And we'll schedule a time to come by and grab the equipment. And what a few of you have found out and what we're being really successful at is remote work. So it's a little bit more time consuming than an on-site appointment. But I'm able to remote into your computers and look and teach and help you with stuff remotely. So we've also, I'd like to announce, since I've got you guys on this, I've done a new update to our website outlining the way we're working. So if you want to see what our business is doing, go to internationalcs.net. That's our website. And that's how all that's going down. Anyway, I see that people have signed out, and I guess we got to bring this to an end. Thanks for being with me this Saturday. We're going to keep doing Saturdays at 9 a.m. It has become apparent that I am not leaving. I will be here throughout the duration of the summer, and I will be continuing to try and have these meetings. Who knows, maybe we'll try and have meetings in a more frequent manner. I need air conditioning for the trailer, so I think that's my next great expense.
I'll try to get some more work done, help you pay for it.
That's right. So I've got a contractor coming over this afternoon to take a look at what we have to work with and to find me the rock bottom price I can find for buying decent equipment and getting it installed so that I'm not sweating on my work out here.
So, Scott.
Yes, go ahead, Bill.
I wanted to see your cup. I see it now. You turned it around.
Yeah.
The stormtrooper.
I turned it around specifically for you, Bill. I looked at it on screen and went, Bill would want to see this. Well, we're way over. Go ahead.
I have a quick question for you.
Certainly.
The one computer I'm using, my laptop here, the keyboard went wonky on me. It just does weird keys. No matter what I push, it doesn't give me what I want. And is there something I can look for in here to see what's going on?
The keyboard, is it a desktop computer or a laptop computer?
Laptop.
Okay, I think you're going to have to get an external USB or wireless keyboard.
Well, that's what I'm using now. I was just wondering if there was any fix for the original.
If an external keyboard is working, then it's definitely a hardware problem with your keyboard. Well, I say definitely, and I mean, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
In my experience, that's what's happened is something has gotten spilled on it or something has damaged it, and the only fix is to replace it.
Okay.
So,
I got it.
Yeah, they're fairly reasonably priced depending on what model you've got. You could probably, I just got a keyboard for an old Toshiba online, cost me about $60 for the keyboard. So just look up keyboards by laptop model. You'll find them on Amazon or eBay. Or maybe, where would you buy something like that in Canada, Bill? Would you get it off of Amazon and eBay?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I've got the USB keyboard. It works fine. And I just was wondering, out of curiosity, if maybe there was some software thing that had screwed up somewhere. But that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not going to buy a new keyboard.
Well, you might price it out, because to me it's about convenience. Like having it all in one package as a laptop, it really has a value.
No, I lost you, Scott. I can't hear a word you're saying. So, close out.
All right, Bill. I hear you on the other end not wanting to say, I'm just cheap and I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm going to
let you.
Hey, it's sure nice talking with you folks.
Scott. I'll call you a little bit later on today, and we can finish up.
That sounds good. Let's plan on that. And for...
Okay, my friend.
I will talk to you guys all next Saturday, if not sooner. There we go. That's the thing I've been trying to bring up for the last 5 minutes. I will talk to you guys all next week. Saturday at 9 a.m. we will do another Computer Club meeting. Until then, everybody stay safe and healthy, and tech on.
Take care.
Adios.
Have a good one.
You too. Talk to you next week, Fred.
Okay.
Mom, Dad, I'm going to give you a call in just a moment. I'm going to hang up on this one, though. Go away, call.
Did you say that to me, Scott?
I did. I said I'm going to call you in just a few minutes.
Okay, so I should sign off.
Yep. Adios.
Bye.
Bye. This won't let me end the call, damn it. End the call. There it goes. All right, so we're out of here. So, yeah, hey, guys, thanks for being with us. I hope you made it through most of that. It was a little longer of a meeting than we were typically having, but it went pretty well, I think. If you have any comments, you leave them in the comments, or go to our blog and leave comments there. sccclub.org for more recordings like this. We're also a podcast in iTunes. You can find us. Search for the San Carlos Computer Club. Until next time, tech on.